Let me show you another verse in Hebrews 1, which has encouraged me a lot. Hebrews 1, it says, Jesus hated iniquity and loved righteousness. Hebrews 1:9. And that is the question I want to ask you, all of you. Not whether you are overcoming sin. Do you hate sin? Can you honestly say, I hate it? You may not be able to do righteousness yet, but can you say you love it? Well, then you can follow Jesus. Hebrews 1:9. He hated iniquity. So, I could say, Lord, I haven't come to the place where I've finished with iniquity, but I can honestly say I hate it. Now turn to Romans 7. Romans 7 is one of those very difficult scriptures to interpret, particularly verses 14 to 25. And most of the great Bible scholars never interpret it correctly. There's a lot of theory there. Some people say Romans 6, 14 is victory over sin, then Romans 7, Paul is describing his unconverted days. I don't believe that. Because in his unconverted days, he will not say, I believe the law is good. No. Now, let me just quickly go through Romans 7, 14 to 25. I know that the law is spiritual. See, this is a born-again person saying this. But I am a flesh, and my flesh is sold into bondages to sin. I've been redeemed by Christ as a person, but my flesh is sold into bondage to sin. And listen to this. That which I'm doing, I don't understand. I'm not practicing what I would like to do. Here's a man who hates sin. This is a born-again person. I don't want to do it. I don't want to lust with my eyes. I don't want to get angry. But I do it. I do, verse 15, the very thing I hate. Is that your experience? And if I do the very thing I don't wish to do, then I'm agreeing with the law. It is good. So then, it's not me doing it. But this sin, this flesh in me that's doing it. Because I am against it. That's one mark of being born again. That I hate that sin. It's come forth from me. Whether it's anger or lust or whatever it is. Again he says, verse 19, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And I do the very thing evil that I don't want to do. Again, he repeats it. It's as if he's drilling it into us. I'm doing the thing I don't wish to do. Then it's not me. It's sin that dwells in me. So he says, I find a principle in me. The one who wishes to do good, that's a born again person, finds within me a principle of evil. Here's the testimony of a born-again person. Verse 22. I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. I want to live according to God's standards. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war and making me a slave. And if you have this cry in you, verse 24. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free? You're on the right path, brother, sister. The great danger is when we look at others and say, wretched man that he is, or wretched man that she is. When a wife looks at her husband and says, what a wretched man he is. Or husband looks at a wife and says, what a wretched woman she is. The godly man says, what a wretched man I am. The Apostle Paul, wretched man that I am. Who's going to set me free? Thank God through Jesus Christ. I will get deliverance. But this is the verse that a lot of people get confused with, verse 25. With my mind, I serve God, but with my flesh, the law of sin. That's the conclusion of the whole thing. You say, hey, that looks like an anticlimax. I thought, praise God, I'm going to be free. And all of a sudden, he says, no. For the rest of my life, my flesh will serve the law of sin. But my mind is going to serve the law of God. In other words, there's going to be a lot of unconscious sin in us till the day we die. Things that I don't even know You know how, particularly in the area of selfishness, a person who's really godly will be able to see selfishness in you, which you can't see yourself, even though you're born again and you're trying to live a good life. And that's, you know, that's where husband and wife, if one is more spiritual than the other, you can see a selfishness in the other person, but that person doesn't see it himself or herself. And that's why we must be merciful with one another. You know, just like a child in the sixth grade understands things that a child in the second grade can't understand. So we're all at different levels. And what would you think of a child in the sixth grade looking down on a child in second grade and say, "Hey, you don't know geometry? You don't know trigonometry?" Who's the foolish kid there? The one in the sixth grade. The second grade kid is not supposed to know it. We have to look at each other, recognizing that that other brother, sister, that husband, that wife of mine is not got light on something. God in His mercy has given light to me. That is what helps us to be merciful to others. His flesh or her flesh is serving the law of sin. My flesh is also serving the law of sin. But both of us, our mind is serving the law of God. His and mine, hers and mine. But that light has not yet come to that person as it has come to me in God's mercy. That's what makes us merciful to others. Because we didn't get that light by our own cleverness. It was God's tremendous mercy to us that He gave us light on some area of selfishness. Selfishness is like a huge onion. Every human being's got it. If we get light on it, we peel off one layer and there's still a lot left. And the one who's worked on his selfishness more and more and more and more and more, and the onion has become pretty thin, we'll be able to see selfishness in somebody else whose onion is still thick. And you may think you're a very holy person, but someone who is much more unselfish than you can see selfishness in you, but he won't say it, obviously. If he's a godly man, he won't even give you a hint that he sees you're selfish. Because he says, "I was there 5 years ago myself. And little by little, God gave me light. And I believe God will deliver that person too." It's a way. We don't look down on a child who's at a lower level, who doesn't understand some things we understand. And so he says, that's why there's no condemnation. Romans 8:1 follows on from that. I'm not condemned because I find there's unconscious sin I'm discovering. And I believe I'll discover if I'm faithful to the Lord. In this year, I'm going to discover areas of selfishness and maybe spiritual pride in which I don't see right now. And I'll peel off one more layer. Maybe some area of love of money. I think I'm pretty free from it, but God will show me one more layer. No, it's not. Your attitude to money is not yet exactly like the attitude of Jesus. If that's your goal. Jesus was a totally unselfish person. And I haven't got there yet. And the Lord shows me little by little by little. In our speech, for example, we managed to control our speech quite a bit and it's pretty good, but the Lord says it hasn't come to the level of Jesus' speech yet. If you're passionate to become like Christ, you see, that's the goal God has for you, and He's given you the Holy Spirit to bring you to that goal, you'll never get discouraged. That's the meaning of 2 Corinthians 3:18 and 4:1. 3:18 is the Holy Spirit is going to make me, show me Jesus' glory, make me like that. And because I believe that, chapter 4, verse 1, it says, I don't get discouraged. I don't get discouraged because God's going to make that in me. Because I see on the end of the sixth day, God will say, very good, it's going to happen. So little by little, we are being renewed. Like it says in 2 Corinthians 4:16, day by day we are renewed just like Genesis 1. And one day, I'll be like the Lord completely. So there is no condemnation. No need to get discouraged. Men will look at us and condemn us. That will happen till the last day of your life on earth. Because there are multitudes of foolish people among believers and unbelievers. But the Bible says man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So He sees in your heart a real desire to live a godly life. That man or woman who condemns you doesn't see that. They just see how you fell or slipped up or lost your temper or did something wrong or did something selfish. And you know, judges you inwardly, even if they don't say it. Don't worry about them. You know in your heart you hate sin. Just preserve that and say, Lord, you're going to do it. I'm still learning, coming to the place where I can't make it. You're bringing me to the place where I will never despise another human being. You're bringing me to the place where even if I'm the most victorious Christian on the face of the earth, I won't be proud of it. You're bringing me to the place where even if I have the most fantastic ministry on the face of the earth, there won't be an atom of pride in me, because I will know by then it was all of grace. It was all of God. This is real victory. And that's why it takes so long. God has to allow us to fail and fail and fail and fail and fail. I hope you're encouraged. What I'm telling you is really basically my own testimony. This is how God led me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will encourage us each one and help us never to give up in this pursuit. Because you are our forerunner. And you're so long-suffering and patient with every one of us. You have hope for every one of us, even when we don't have hope for ourselves. Thank you for that. Give us hope for ourselves and for others around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.